All right, I want to play this audio for everybody. This is Bill Simmons on his show. This is his podcast, right, Tone? This is Bill Simmons on his podcast talking about the teams that have the most to look forward to coming
up
in the future.
Have you changed here who's in the best situation for the next 5 years in the East answer now that we've gotten further along in the finals?
I said Indiana, Cleveland won.
You had Cleveland won. Ryan had Cleveland won. I think Waz had Cleveland won.
Look, if they win the championship, it's just you just win. Like, you win all the polls. So, yes, if they win, I guess I would have to.
It's
funny, 2-1 in the finals. They're a championship caliber
team. I thought Ryan made a good case. I think you and Waz both made. The Cleveland case, I think, is the right answer because
it's the only other candidate.
You have the most options with Mobley, Garland, and Mitchell. Even if it's not working out with those as your best three and Allen, they still have a lot of different things they could do. That would be why. But if Indiana wins the title.
Yeah, if you win the title, you just win all the polls for a little while. That's all.
Boy, that's a hell of a way to put it, because it's like, well, you get the benefit of the doubt because you win the championship. It would be, I do think it would be really insulting if Indiana were to win the NBA Finals. You're like, but the Cavs have the brightest future, or the Knicks, or whoever have the brightest future, the Celtics. I think that would be something else to say when you have a pretty young basketball team there, and I don't know how many changes they have to make over there in Indiana.
It's a fun discussion, and it's one that the Cavs have been kind of winning for 3 years. I remember it was like 2.5 years ago, one of these sites put up who had the brightest future in the NBA, and the Cavs were number one. And fast forward 2.5 years, we haven't gotten past the second round of the playoffs, and we've maxed out our roster in terms of financials and assets. We've got like nothing left right now. We'd have to like actually move players that are a part of the core to change the roster up dramatically. So it's one thing to say, hey, this team has a bright future. It's another thing to actually realize it. The funny thing is, did anybody have Indiana a year ago? Heck, even 2 months ago, as having a bright future?
Well, I'll tell you what,
according to some,
we might all had our head up our ass. Here's Chris Fedor with Jonathan Peterlin on Afternoon Drive.
There's no way the Cavs beat them if healthy.
Oh, I don't think so either.
So I just don't know that enough people gave Indiana the respect that it earned. Well, going since January, they've been one of the best teams in the entire NBA. This isn't new. I felt like it was a competitive series going in, but I thought the Cavs were going to win because I thought they were the more talented team. I thought they had the best player. But after seeing that series play out and seeing some of the matchup problems that Indy created for the Cavs and seeing some of the lack of readiness from the Cavs' most important players compared to Indy's most important players, I don't know how you could watch that series and say injuries would have made the difference between winning that series and losing it. If you want to say making it more competitive, sure. But beating Indy 4 times in 7 tries? No.
So I haven't budged. And I've said, man, if they were healthy, when it comes to the talent, I think that the Cavs would blow Indiana away, and here is Indiana in the NBA Finals. And those two are saying, no, they wouldn't have won. There's no way, quote, they would have won had the Cavs been healthy if both teams were at full strength. Do you have that revisionist history on that? Because I tell you what, if that's the case, and I know what Chris has said on the station here over the last week about how he has to go, Darius Garland has to go, well, that's gonna drive some of that. Because if you are of the belief that it is not tenable anymore and Darius has to go, then yeah, you're going to say that. There's no way you're beating Indiana, even if you were at full strength. I still don't believe that. I find it hard to believe that. I think that there is a lack of readiness, but I think it's hard to believe that Evan Mobley with some more miles on him isn't going to be far better than what Indiana has to offer. I find it hard to believe that if Evan Mobley can be that dominant, that Darius Garland wouldn't be freed up. I have reservations about Jared Allen. I know that TJ McConnell is a bigger name as we are going through these finals because of what he's done. He's a pest. He also is a pretty decent enough shooter, but he's a pest that gets it done on the defensive end. And I know you're champing at the bit over here. Maybe there's some changes that you have to make to some of the ancillary pieces if you can. But I still feel that this is a team that's better talent-wise, and that's why I think that loss hurts so much and why people are so angry still a month later after losing that series.
So there's reason for optimism, right? They're in the Eastern Conference, and you just heard basically the two main guys that talk basketball, Zach Lowe, Bill Simmons, they're saying, oh, Cavs have the brightest future of anybody in the East. And then they add the caveat, like, well, it may not be this exact team. It might be part of this team, yeah, and then whoever they trade for.
You have outsiders, but they're insiders, NBA. I mean, Zach Lowe's as connected as anybody but you have NBA insiders who are not based in the city who are saying the Cavaliers have the brightest future in the Eastern Conference, and they didn't even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you have people in the bubble who are saying, no, no chance. Like, that's why I've been fighting this. Are we just mad? Are we just taking it personally? As fans, are we just mad at the Cavs because they were a tremendous disappointment? And yeah, you should have been mad at them a month ago, but now's the time we got to start to settle down and figure out what we're going to do here. I can't be making these decisions based that I'm mad about Darius Garland, based that I'm mad about the Cavaliers losing. Again, when we talk trades, I cannot stress this enough. It's not punitive. I'm not trying to punish these guys because I'm mad at them by trading guys away, Anthony.
Well, the other part of it is, like, when it comes to Darius, so there's a long line of guys that, you know, have been doubted until they win their first championship, whether it's the best player or second best player. They're always those guys in sports that, you know, you say, well, they can't do it. I can tell they can't do it. Look at these numbers. Look at these experiences. They can't do it. And then they break through. So everybody has to win. When they win their first title, it is a breakthrough. So it is hard. On one hand, I'm sitting here watching Darius and telling you all the reasons that I'm nervous that a very talented player might not be the guy to hang on to. But who knows what the Cavs are thinking? The Cavs might be thinking, just, we were unlucky, we've had injuries. But it's hard because there have been a lot of losing teams that when the season is over, they lament injuries and they lament bad luck. And then those teams go away and they never win.
Which way?
And they weren't aggressive and they didn't make a move.
I think that you just hit it right there. I think Kobe Altman has to figure that out. Which way do you go about it to start? Do you go about it that there may need to be changes because these guys aren't tough enough? Or do you start with, hey, it's bad luck? Because I think if you go in with talent first, you're still in a position where you're trying to deny something that may very well be the truth. If you go to the absolute worst situation first, I think it is better to work your way back to get to reality going, hey, we might be stuck, so we might need to make some changes here on the margin or a change there on the margin. But when you mess with some of the bigger names that we have, the four biggest names that we have, it might not be an easy thing to do to move on from some of these guys. It might be better to do that. I'm just still surprised that a month later, there is still this zest against Darius Garland, even against Jared Allen. This anger, this frustration, and wanting to move on from these guys. And I think simply because of it.
And just, I want to know, what does it look like? We're talking about the Eastern Conference as it stands today. What does any of this look like after what could be a frenzy in terms of movement, if there is the movement and all the trades that could go down right in the lead up to the draft?